University of Georgia Griffin campus invites you to join us for news and information about the many and varied programs and activities at the UGA Griffin campus. Information about gardening, the agriculture programs, and your UGA degree at the University of Georgia Griffin campus. Your UGA degree is closer than you think. This program is made possible by Frank and Karen Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray and Company Realtors. Listen each Thursday at 9 o'clock a.m. for the UGA Griffin Campus News. This program is produced by WKEU AM 1450 and 102.3 FM and The Rock 88.9 FM and streamed live on our website, WKEUradio.com. Join us now with our guests from the UGA Griffin Campus.
Of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. After a several week hiatus, we are pleased to be back on the air on AM 1450, 102.3 FM, and 88.9 FM, The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. And we could not ask for a better show to kick off the new year, as we have a full house here in the studio today. Joining us today is Dr. David Bunton, who is the interim provost and the campus director on the University of Georgia Griffin Campus. We also have Melissa Todd, the assistant director for academic affairs on campus, and a newcomer to the school, not a newcomer to WKEU as the thing turns out, but Pamela Henry, who is the new program director for the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences on the UGA Griffin campus. Let's welcome you all to the program and wish you the most prosperous new year, even though we're a couple of weeks in.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, I know that the University of Georgia Griffin campus has to be all agog. I cannot imagine that a whole lot of work has been done this week, Dr. Bunton, in light of the Bulldogs National Championship Monday night.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that, Tony, since 1980. And I was in graduate school at that time. They were the national champions. I know you don't want to talk about it much, but we're quite excited. Yeah, it was a little thin, I think, around the campus Tuesday morning with folks, still drinking coffee and trying to catch up with sleep. But I was really surprised we got it done. At halftime, I was beginning to wonder, but they got it together the second half and pulled it out. But we're also very excited that Monday classes started again. So students are back on campus, and looking forward to a really good spring semester.
Well, one of the complications that as a researcher you did not have but do as campus director is, unfortunately, there has been another surge in coronavirus cases with this Omicron variant. Has the campus had to institute any mitigation strategies or reintroduce old policies in order to keep the students and staff as safe as possible?
No, our policies have stayed the same. We strongly encourage everyone to get vaccinated and to wear face masks when they're inside the enclosed buildings, but it's not required. And but yes, we have had a significant uptick in number of cases among employees and students since the first of the year. And we're following the new CDC guidelines as far as isolation times and quarantine for various groups. So I expect we'll have everything I see on the TV and hear from CDC the next month or two could be quite a lot of cases, but then hopefully it'll taper off before the spring.
Well, I mean, if you look at South Africa, their case counts is where this Omicron originated. Their case counts have really started to dwindle.
Right.
So apparently this is going to hopefully be, as you suggest, just a temporary setback. And maybe by the mid-semester at the latest, maybe we can return to a better sense of normalcy.
Right. Those that do test positive have to stay out 5 days. And We have had a number of people that have been out, and look forward to them for a speedy recovery and coming back.
Well, the focus of today's program, and we are joined again by Melissa Todd, the Assistant Director for Academic Affairs, who generally doesn't like to say a whole lot during the course of our program. So we're going to put in the spotlight today both Dr. Bunton and Pamela Henry, who is the new program coordinator for the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. Melissa, you're raising your hands up as if I have done something incredulous. Every time you come, I ask you to reveal something about yourself. We already have the entire biography from pre-birth until until your unfortunate demise sometime in the future. But if you have anything that you would like to add at this time, please feel free.
Wow. No, I feel like you don't want me to add anything, Tony.
No, I do. Of course.
I actually didn't come prepared with anything. So we'll wait till next time and I'll have it.
Well, we'll get to you about academic affairs in just a few moments. But let's bring in Pamela Henry, who is replacing Kathleen Freeman as the director for the program coordinator at the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences. And turns out she's no stranger to WKEU. We learned in our pre-interview, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But Pamela, could you please share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, first personally, and then your educational process and what led you to wind up on the UGA Griffin campus?
Right. Yes, thanks for having me here. I grew up in Barnesville, Lamar County, and I spent my life there, went to school in Tennessee, graduated with an English major.
Where'd you go?
Bryan College, Dayton, Tennessee. It's a small liberal arts Christian college. And
so then you majored in English, which is can be sometimes hard, difficult to find a job. I myself am an English major.
Yes. In fact, my first summer after graduating from college, the job I had lined up with the newspaper had fallen through, and I needed something for the summer. So there was an opening at WKEU for a weekend person for nights, and I thought, well, I'll try that. I had knew nothing about radio except how to turn off and on and volume up and down and sing along. So I came, got the job, and after my first weekend, I just thought, you know, this really is not for me.
But, you know, back in your day when you did that back in 1981, you got to select your own playlist, which is something a luxury we're not afforded these days.
Yeah, that was fun. I did get to do my own playlist, and there were, you know, walls of I'm trying to
carts.
Yeah, just of albums to play and songs to pick, and yeah, I was fine with playing the songs. It was when I had to talk, that's what got me.
Well, so now your personal life. So you worked here at WKEU. You know, it takes an awful lot of work to get into the field of higher education. Describe what that process was like for you, what steps you took to get into higher education.
I homeschooled my four children up until sometime in high school, at which point they all transferred to Lamar County. They all did dual enrollment at Gordon State in high school.
Which is really convenient, being in Barnesville and having Gordon State right there.
That was great. So they were able to get college credits and high school credits at the same time and take off some of the student loans that they would have later because of the dual enrollment.
Yeah, another great benefit to dual enrollment that people often overlook. Those college course credits come free of charge.
Yes, that was great. So when my kids were in high school, I got a job at the Barnesville Lamar County Library, and I was there for about 10 years. And then, you know, my kids were in college and graduating, and after about 10 years at the library, I applied for and got a job at Gordon State as an academic services assistant with the History and Political Science Department.
And then how did you advance at Gordon? Was that as high as you went at that institution, or were you ultimately promoted?
The title stayed the same, but the job grew and grew. After a few years, our department, another department combined into a much larger department. I stayed the academic services assistant for that. So I was there for 6.5 years. Had a lot of I worked with students, sort of unofficial advising with underclassmen, and did a lot of computer work, learned different programs, software. So, I mean, there was a lot of learning that went on there and overlap with different departments. And then when this position came up open here for the program coordinator, when I read the job description, I just felt like these are all things I've done, even though I haven't done them officially as my job description. So that's how I ended up here. This you know, working at UGA and didn't have to move. I still live in Barnesville, so it's an easy commute. It's a pretty commute.
How familiar were you with the processes and the roles and all the functions of the University of Georgia Griffin campus prior to applying for this position?
You know,
what I'm saying is, and I'm sure you understand, but having lived here through the 70s and 80s in the vicinity, it was still just the experiment station, and there was no school officially connected to the large campus. So, you know, how familiar were you with the academic rigors of the University of Georgia Griffin?
I wasn't. When growing up, we would head north on the 4-lane, I always saw that building, and we called it the Jetsons building.
That is a good description.
Because it just looked so futuristic looking.
Like space
now,
age.
Like, yeah, space age. And, you know, my dad said, well, and I asked him what it was. He said, well, that's the experiment station. I was like, well, that makes perfect sense to my 6 or 7 year old mind, or however old I was. You know, it's like, that looked like where the Jetsons would park and fly out from. But,
that's,
you know,
great.
And there was no road to it. You know, so how else were they going to get in and out?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. From 1941, there is no access to the campus. Now, fortunately, in the time since, they have really improved the roadways along Experiment and Ellis Road to give you access. But you're right. So how did you, I mean, once you applied, what was the process between application and you being brought on board?
When I applied, I started doing research on the website, Facebook, social media, everything I could find out about UGA Griffin. Now, I knew about UGA because my 3 daughters went to UGA, and my son went to Tech, so we're good there.
Well, I mean, UGA is the flagship. It is the landmark institution in our state.
Right. So I started doing research on UGA Griffin, and my mind was blown. I had no idea so much was there, and that it's like a brain trust just tucked away here next door to us, you know, just right here in our community. And I would just fall down rabbit holes just reading articles and following links and seeing everything that the research that was going on all across the board. And I grew up in a family on both sides. There is a lot of agriculture and agricultural based in my history. And it really excited me to want to be part of something, part of the bigger picture. And so when I was called in for a Skype or Zoom interview, mm-hmm. And that was the first Zoom interview I'd ever done. So, you know, there were a lot of firsts here for me. And then I got called back for a face-to-face interview and had to do a presentation. So I did a PowerPoint, my first PowerPoint, to prep for that, and gave a presentation, and then I waited. And so I can't remember how long it was I waited. They had to go through several other people.
But a couple of weeks, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks, but it felt like a couple of months.
But it has to be somewhat gratifying knowing that there were other candidates being considered and you were the one that was chosen.
I think there were a lot of good people, and I am very thankful that I was chosen, because I feel like I can use my gifts and talents and my experience that I've had at every other job I've had can feed into this. Helping students, reading transcripts, learning lots of new programs on the computer, which I'm doing now. There's so many things I need to learn. Right now it feels sort of like a dump truck of information, and I'm trying to shovel out with a spoon, but I can't wait till I know what I'm doing.
I'm going to just add one thing real quick, too. One of the things that we noted with Pam, or Pamela, was that she really seemed to embrace the idea of problem solving. Just even in the interview process, there were things that she would bring up, and she would identify something, but would bring a solution. And that was one thing that we picked up, even mm-hmm. when you talked about your previous jobs, is that you sort of like to look for things that could be better and enhance them. So I think this is going to be a great opportunity for you to do that, too. And you may have already figured that out.
I have been very blessed to be surrounded with people that in my previous job, I felt like I was a lot of times sort of an answer person because of trying to figure out what ways to make things work. And now I'm the question lady.
Well, I mean,
yes, she is.
As much as I might tease the University of Georgia being a tech guy, but look, there can never be any mistaking that to be hired by such a prestigious institution says something, because you're going to get applications from all sectors of the globe. And I mean, literally every corner of the world, people want to come work on for the University of Georgia. And, you know, you were one of the select few, and you only had to go from Barnesville to do it. You know, you're not having to come. I mean, look how many students on campus are from foreign nations. Look how many of the researchers right. on the Griffin campus come from other nationalities. And you only had to go from Lamar County to Spalding, which is, as you say, a lovely commute.
It is. And I'm really excited to be part. I want to get the word out about UGA Griffin, because I feel like it's a hidden treasure that, I mean, they've done a lot to get the word out, but I know in Lamar County, just next door, I know there are people like parents like me. I didn't know the opportunities that were available, like with Young Scholars, or the to be able to transfer in to finish your degree. I had no idea of that until I started prepping for these job interviews there.
Now, you know, Dr. Bunn, when it comes to the interview process, does someone in Pamela's position, do they apply directly to the University of Georgia, or do they apply to the University of Georgia Griffin specifically?
No, we have to get the jobs approved and posted on the Athens HR website. So the applicants have to go there and submit their applications.
Now, what role do you or others on the Griffin campus play in deciding who gets hired?
Well, the position stays open for a while, and candidates apply, and then normally there's a closing date. And once we close, in this particular case, we had a committee led by Beatrice Cunningham in my office that reviewed the applications, try to narrow it down to three or four people that we think are qualified and we're interested in interviewing, and then we've over the last few years with COVID, we've started doing preliminary Zoom interviews with folks, and that really has helped save time and money. And then once we review those, then bring in a selected list of people for in-person interviews. And that's the procedure we normally do for faculty positions and these type of positions. Some of the staff positions will do something a little less formal, but kind of a similar approach.
But now, do the committees that are established, do they change, or do you like to keep the committees as solid as possible because they kind of have experience dealing with new hires?
Normally the committees will vary depending on what the job is and what the unit is, and we'll get people within that unit. But for example, the new food pick director job that we have open, we're doing interviews for that this month. We've had a couple postponed here this week. But we actually do have a person from the community that's on that committee. That's because that's such a important program that it engages the community, and the community put a lot of resources into the food pick building. So it just depends on what the job is, and we try to bring in people like Melissa, who was on the committee, that this person's going to work with or will be affiliated with it.
And just getting back to Food Pick, yet another hidden gem located on the UGA Griffin campus.
Right.
You know, and you know, it's going to be a tough replacement for Dr. Curt Keeley. I mean, that's going to be a tough replacement, you know, but I'm sure it can be done.
Well, as they say, everybody can be replaced, but Kirk was really special. We really missed him. And so we're looking forward. We're going to interview four people. And I haven't met any of them yet. I'm not on that committee. But look forward to getting somebody in. We're also going to refill the program coordinator that was in that unit. Lauren Hatcher left, and that position is open also. We'll probably wait until we get the director in before we refill that. And then we also have a commitment from the administration to fill up more of a research faculty position affiliated with Food Pick once we get the director in place.
Are we starting to see the university system of Georgia with, you know, the COVID situation getting at least a little bit better? You know, are we seeing some improvement in that area in terms of your ability to bring new people onto campus, or do you anticipate that happening within the next year or so?
Well, the last 6-8 months, both here in Athens and elsewhere, there's been a huge amount of turnover, and we've had new positions approved, but there's also been a lot of turnover and people moving on to other positions. And so we've had some vacancies that way. We've hired from within. We've probably filled 12, 14 positions in the last 8 months, whereas the prior year and a half, we didn't fill any positions because of the budget. So we've been pretty busy with new positions. And that, I think, trend is nationwide. It's not just us. Other companies and private industry are seeing the same thing. And but that's good. The other issue is just, being competitive with salaries, and the university is looking at that very hard. They've actually allocated some compression money for some of the lower level positions, and now they're looking at ones that are in the mid-range to try to bring them up to be more competitive with the marketplace.
And just as a quick aside, if you are an electrician and you are looking for work, the University of Georgia Griffin campus currently has a position available.
We do.
I think another thing to remember is, I know that it's sort of overwhelming to look on the UGA website for employment, but if you go on there, you can filter to Griffin, and then you can look and see what positions are available just in Griffin. Because I'll occasionally
That's a good point,
but people are like, there's so many openings. But if you just Google UGA jobs, you'll eventually get to the link pretty easily. And then just filter to Griffin, and you can see all the positions that we have open. And
right.
There are quite a few. I mean, there are some temporary jobs on there. There are the electrician job, of course. But, you know, it's easy to...
Yeah, when you get to that website, there's a staff or faculty choice. Mm-hmm. And so you go to one or the other. And then there's some filters, and really all you need to do is do the location filter for the Griffin area, and that'll delete all the Athens positions and just bring up the ones in Griffin.
Well, Pamela Henry, how have you gotten your feet wet in your early days as the new program coordinator? I mean, with so many new faces, I mean, all the faces are going to be fairly new to you, but with, you know, who do you turn to advice? I mean, who is your rock to lean on as you get your feet wet with the new program?
Well, one of them is sitting directly to my left. Melissa has been on your right.
Your other left.
She has been great. I can just run down the hall and bring her something, and or she'll answer.
Has haven't been started good. Locking my door yet.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any new projects, new scope in mind for the program as a whole?
I have some ideas, but right now I am trying to get the training I need on all the different fronts so I can be a good advisor, so I can do my job well. The way I see it, and from talking to Dr. Bunton, Melissa, to Beatrice Cunningham, who has been another great, great help for, you know, helping me along here, has... is there are certain things that this job needs to encompass that needs to be done. How they get done, some of them are open to my interpretation. Now, some of them aren't. Some of them are very set that need to be done. But there is room for me to make the job how I want it to look.
Is that one of the things that attracted you to the position, the fact that you would have some leeway in molding the program to a level it has not yet seen?
I did not think about it in the words you just said, but to be able to use my creativity and be able to use my brain to have that freedom to put ideas out there and know that they would be considered and maybe be told, yeah, go for it and let's see what happens. Yes, definitely.
Now, I'm sure that, I mean, you certainly strike me as the type that you're spending a lot of your own hours, even when you're not on campus, kind of researching, what can I Google about CAES at UGA Griffin? You know, what can I learn? Are you really doing that? Is my impression on that accurate?
Yes, because, again, I hate not knowing what I'm doing. So it is. It's all part of seeing what the bigger picture is and how I can fit in there and help our grad students, our undergrads that are transferring in. What are some ways that I can get those dual enrollment students in high school and their parents so they, if they're interested in, you know, any of the STEM, science, technology, engineering, or math, where they could fit in here, think how wonderful it would be if you have a high school student or if you are a high school student to have someone, and you don't know where you're going to fit in, where you're going to go to college, to come in and say, okay, this can be your plan. You need these courses. I'll be your main advisor to help you as you go to your first 2 years at Gordon or Southern Crescent to get these courses, and then you'll come on home to UGA Griffin and take your upper-level courses in environmental science or agribusiness, you know, what's the other one? Biological science. And all the things that those feed into. And to have that plan in place so you know you're going, so you don't waste any of your college credits. You know which classes you're going to take. So there are students out there that are very focused but don't know where they fit in. Those are the students that I want to find. We don't want every student. We want the right students.
Have you been able to reach out as of yet to our local high schools, not just in Spalding County, but in our surrounding counties? Pike County has one of the most noted STEM programs in all of the nation, Upson County, Lamar, where you're from. Have you been able to reach a point in your progress that you can reach out to these schools and kind of get them a little more involved and more aware of your program on the UGA Griffin campus?
Not yet, but it's definitely on my radar. I started in early December.
And then you get the holidays right smack in the middle.
And so this is sort of my second week back. So still getting my feet under me, but yes, that is definitely on my radar. I want to put it a plug in for the Young Scholars Program for high school students. Melissa, you may need to help me on the details on this.
I got you.
He's got you.
Okay. But the deadline for application for that is January 31st. You can go to the UGA Griffin Facebook page or website, contact Beatrice Cunningham. And do get that. It is a paid, would you call it an internship?
It's a six-week internship.
Yes.
Great opportunity.
With about 30 hours a week is what is expected of the students.
And these high school students will get mentoring and do research projects with these world-class researchers we have at UGA Griffin. And that's an opportunity that a lot of grad students at larger universities don't get. They're going to get this under their belt early on, and it also helps, so they can start figuring out, is this what I want to do? And see different aspects of it. Work in labs, get out in the field and do actually hands-on work. So that's a great opportunity. So yes, January 31st, go on the website, give us a call, let us get you started with that.
And just in a quick thumbnail for parents who might be listening and their be interested in their child at least looking into this program. You must have completed your sophomore year of high school in order to apply. Again, as Pamela mentioned, the deadline is January 31st. You must be 16 years old by the start of the program, which is going to be the first week of June of this year. So you have to be 16 years old by then. And as you say, it's a great opportunity to work side by side with world-renowned researchers. And, you know, you mentioned that graduate students at other institutions aren't afforded this opportunity. Just think of how great it looks on a college application.
Right. Yes. And if you come on back to UGA Griffin for one of our degrees, you will be able to feed right in and do more research and just build that up. And also the networking possibilities. If somebody in a different country or a different state, different institution says, hey, you know, reaches out and said, we need somebody that can do this and this. Do you need anybody? You know, if you've been good at, you know, doing this, your name may come up and you may have a job through that networking possibilities with that.
Have you been able to decipher the lingo on the University of Georgia Griffin campus? I mean, things like double dog and things that are kind of unique to the Griffin campus?
Yes, I'm working on it, and every day there's something different, but, you know, thank God
she
for Google.
She doesn't mind asking questions, yes. I mean, and I don't mean that about it. Well, she doesn't mind asking it. I think that's great.
Well, you have to build that foundation before you can put on the upper floors.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll get things, you know, wrong along the way or not full information, and there are plenty of people that, you know, will give me the information I need to keep going forward.
Have you had to kind of look back at the history of the CAES program on the UGA Griffin campus to, you know, kind of know where it's been so you can place it where you want it to go? I mean, you know where the students are coming from and, you know, look at kind of the history, who's been involved in the program to help you guide it forward?
To some extent, there's still, I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So I'm learning every day and picking up pieces. But yeah, I mean, just reading the history of it, taking it from the experiment station, you know, and up till today and how the extension service fits in, there are so many moving pieces. I mean, it feels like it's a live organism almost. It just keeps changing and growing and evolving into something better, I feel like, as it goes along.
Do you plan, I mean, I know your work schedule and being still so new to the position has been, you know, extremely hectic, and you feel like there's never enough hours in the day, but it's in points in the future, will you be able to reach out to other program coordinators to kind of get their perspective? Even though you're doing different tasks, I mean, the job of program coordinator is fairly close to being the same. Do you have people on campus you can reach out to for guidance?
Yeah. Faye Chapman is just down the hall from me. She's the program coordinator for
Franklin
College. And she's been great. I have Zoom meetings with Academic Affairs in Athens, and then the other, their CAES academic advisors a couple of times a month each, you know, so separate meetings to be able to ask questions, to listen, to see what other people are doing. And there's a lot of back and forth with emails and different, you know, just to keep us all on the same level and to answer questions. So there is a lot of growth every day just in my day-to-day working. And I really cannot wait to get out and start visiting these schools, to talk to the honors classes, the STEM teachers, if there are parent meetings, to introduce CAES for our and Griffin campus for our high school students, and to get people to come out, please just come out to campus. If you come out to campus, this place will sell itself. It's a beautiful campus. There is so much. We would love to give you a tour. You know, contact anybody on the website, and they'll
Or you can call that world famous phone number, 770-412-4400. That will get you to Melissa. But are y'all still able to do campus tours right now? I mean, has the COVID relaxed to the point where people, are we doing individual tours, or are we doing, you know, once a month or bi-monthly?
Yeah, I'm actually doing individual tours for now. As you know, we don't have a recruiter at the moment, and so we are not doing the scheduled tours, but I think that's sort of convenient because we don't want to have large groups.
I kind of
right
like
now.
The one-to-one idea better anyway.
They tend to work really well. So I'm doing, in fact, I think I have one tomorrow. Usually at least once a week I have someone coming on campus for a tour. But yeah, just contact us and we'll get one set up for you. And we try, and it's personalized. Depending on what a student's interested in or a family's interested in, we can kind of personalize it.
And showing them around the campus, I have to ask, I've always wanted to know, do you take them around on the golf carts or do you expect them to walk that expansive campus?
I get the golf cart.
I mean, I would. I'm tired walking from the lot to the SLC. So.
Yeah, well, there's so much to see that it really is easier on a golf cart. And that way, you know, in a short amount, I mean, really, you need almost 45 minutes to really get the full campus in on a golf cart. And that's not even full campus. That's just the golf cart tour campus. Yeah, so.
Well, now, Pamela, you know, one of the things that, and I harp on this all the time, and I'm sure the people listening to this program get tired of hearing it, but there is a family aspect to the University of Georgia Griffin campus that is unlike anything I've ever seen at a college institution.
Yes.
And, you know, can you or do you plan to develop ways to make a familial approach, not only to the STEM teachers and the school officials, but to the students that will be under your tutelage?
Oh, yeah. I will be the go-to person, for CAE.
That takes some getting used to saying,
yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
It does. It's like, this is not future, this is now. But to, you know, if there are questions, you know, my door is literally open if I'm in my office. I have comfy chairs to sit in, you know, snacks are on the way. So, no, students are welcome to drop by, prospective students and their parents to come by and talk to see what we have. You know, you can drop in. If you want to set up an appointment, that'd be great too. And we can also do Zoom. But no, their students are taken care of. And nobody is invisible on that campus. And I think that's a huge piece of what makes it feel like a family. Everybody counts. Everybody is important.
And that's a great point. And it doesn't extend just between faculty and staff or faculty and students. It's everybody on that campus that uniquely kind of pulls. Everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Yes. Yes.
What has been the biggest surprise to you in the position to this point?
Oh my goodness. It's a very big job, and it does have a lot of moving pieces. And trying to juggle those things and just put things, you know, what's most important at what time. But as far as a surprise, I really do feel like the family atmosphere would be it. And that's a very good surprise. I mean, there are, you know, drop everything and come to sing happy birthday and get a piece of cake for the person down the hall. Or, you know, big breakfasts or meals to celebrate the holidays together. I mean, there's a lot of fun things going on, as well as a lot of hard work and getting business done as well.
So you went from being a newly discovered cousin to being a sister to many of the people on campus in a short amount of time.
I do feel like I belong there, yes.
And that's another, you know, underappreciated aspect of the UGA Griffin campus, and that's nothing against Athens whatsoever. For people who want that large campus experience, look, Athens is super. The nightlife, the school, everything that surrounds it. But when it comes to one-to-one, you're not going to beat what you can get at UGA Griffin.
And there are a lot of, like, they have the, not the weight room, what do they call the activities for, I don't know, but it's like
the rec center,
library. There's beautiful study rooms,
soccer field,
computer, and they're what the monthly or what there used to be a soccer match.
I think it's weekly.
Weekly?
Yeah, they
yes, twice a week.
Okay, Tuesdays,
sorry.
Thursdays,
I don't play soccer, so I haven't been.
Apologies, Dr. Macy, if you're listening.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll have to get you in on that. But, okay, you know, what are some of the biggest obstacles students face in getting into your CAES program? Is it what you touched on before, the lack of taking the proper courses leading up to you? Or
well, the biggest number one is not knowing that it exists. So that's part of my job is recruiting and, you know, letting them know. Part of it, too, is, yeah, would be to know what classes need to be taken to make sure that there are no wasted. To make sure, like, if you're going doing dual enrollment, that you if you're looking at this, that you would take a science major, biology, instead of just a general biology. You know, things there are little things like that that, you know, you may not know about. Also, that your college credits are for, you need to have a 2.8 and 60 hours
of core work
before you transfer over.
And they have to be, as Melissa Todd always points out, they have to be transferable hours. Not all classes you take when you're getting your associates necessarily translate seamlessly to the UGA Griffin campus.
And that probably is one of the biggest obstacles that I've noticed with the ag undergraduate programs is that issue of transferability. And it goes back to needing to have those higher level sciences. And so, you know, depending on where you're attending, if you're not attending a USG school, then that definitely can be an issue with students who are trying to transfer into one of these programs. But it goes back to what I always say, contact us. And don't contact us right at deadline. Contact us, or you can, but the earlier you talk to us, we can make sure those first 2 years, those 60 hours, are not taking, there's no waste of time and no waste of credits and no waste of money. If people would just reach out to us earlier, I think we could clean a lot of that up for people.
And then in addition to wasting the money, anytime you learn, it's not a waste. But I get what you're saying. But you also save on application fees. I mean, there's
absolutely
no need in paying that fee if you're not going to get in because your pre-requirements have not been met.
Yeah, I always tell people, do not pay the application fee until I or your program coordinator tell you to, because we're going to let you know when you're going to get accepted. So work with us. Save some money.
And the college, the grade point average is cumulative. So if you have an F or a WF, that's going to bring, they don't disappear. Even if you retake the course and get an A or a B, that F and WF are still going to show up. So
that's a wrecker.
To work hard to keep that GPA up to at 2.8 or above, that would be great too.
Yeah, I mean, generally, look, let's just be perfectly honest about it. If you're a parent or grandparent and, you know, you think that the University of Georgia Griffin campus provides a solid foundation for your loved one's future, listen, 2.8 is the bare minimum, and generally 3.4, 3.5 is kind of where the admissions kind of start. I mean, they're very bright and motivated people. Is that one thing that surprised you? Have you been able to meet some of the students and discovered how much more motivated they seem to be than students on other campuses?
The students that are here because they want to be and because they are motivated and have a goal in mind that they want to meet. They're not just floating around for the most part, not knowing what they're doing. By the time they come to UGA Griffin to get those upper division classes, they're on the road. They worked hard to get into, and the UGA Griffin campus, I mean, that is a UGA degree.
Right. It's not a Griffin degree.
No,
it is not a Tifton or anything else.
Your diploma is UGA. So if you want that UGA degree, Griffin is a great place to get it.
And it's a little more affordable than some other institutions, you know, even within the University of Georgia.
Right. There are a lot of
tuition's the same, of course, but the fees are cheaper on our campus compared to any of the other campuses for UGA.
And then, you know, you don't necessarily have the expenses that are associated with big campus life.
Right.
And so a lot of people, you know, are commuter. It's a very commuter-friendly school. A lot of students still live at home where they can reduce their experience.
They save a lot of money that way.
And the job, you know, Melissa, if you would just touch about the job opportunities that are often offered on campus. To me, that is yet another plus.
Yeah, you know, there have been semesters where it seems that almost every one of our students is also working on campus in some capacity, and those opportunities exist. And it's kind of funny because we have a lot of opportunities right now on campus, but our current student population, they're already working. So, you know, that's what they're working at other jobs. And so we have lots of opportunities on campus. But, you know, just as you said, so many of our students are living at home or being able to keep the lifestyle that they've maintained. And so they have jobs already. But those opportunities to work on campus, they exist. We're actually looking for somebody in our office right now. So plug.
So, students, I hope you heard that. Pamela, as the mother of four who is kind of already navigated the college waters with students, so to speak, does that provide kind of an extra leg up for you in this position now that you have, you know, kind of helped your own children get through the college experience to help the students that will be under your direction?
Oh, yes. That, not just the students, but parents as well.
So you do see it from both perspectives.
I can see it from the parent side, and because of my time at Gordon, I can also see it from the other side of the desk. So, you know, I know a lot of times what questions need to be asked that maybe they're not asking, or what information needs to be given, things that I wish I had known when I was going through it, like filling out FAFSA. If there was a mistake to be made on FAFSA, I've done it, okay? Not the same ones each time, but if there was, you know,
learn from your mistakes, just make new ones.
You know, I don't want people to do the same thing, you know. So anyway, but there's that perspective that, yes, I can feel like where students are coming from and parents or their people to help them.
You know, so, all right, so going forward, how long do you think it will take you? I mean, have you kind of established a window in your own mind of when you think you'll feel comfortable and start to make this program, not just the UGA College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences, but Pamela's program as well? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at what point do you think you can take possession?
I think every day there's a little bit more. Just as I learn more and meet more people, get more information, it's building that foundation. Best guess is I probably feel like I have to go through at least maybe a full academic year just to see what everything is, see how things work and fit in. But that doesn't mean, oh, at that point, then I'm going to get started. It's a gradual buildup. You know, it's not just an all or nothing.
What have you found to be the most common degrees associated with the Double Dog program? And what most commonly gets combined as undergraduate degrees?
Well, we have two Double Dogs approved on our campus right now. And one of those is in the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. It's the Environmental Resource Science degree. Students coming into that program are often lured or attracted to that program because of the opportunity to earn their master's in just one extra year. Of course, a student has to be approved, but that bachelor's degree in environmental resource science, if a student is approved for the Double Dog during their senior year, they can start working on what we like to call the MPPM, also known as the Master's of Plant Protection and Pest Management, and just one extra year. And all those all that coursework is on the Griffin campus. We do have another Double Dog, a fairly new one on our campus, and it's through the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences. It's connected to our interdisciplinary studies degree with emphasis in sociology. And that new master's is actually a concentration in, nonprofit leadership and management. Thank you, Dr. Bunn.
In the School of Social Work.
Exactly. That's an online master's, but a student approved can start working on that master's degree during their senior year working on our interdisciplinary sociology degree.
Well, Ms. Henry, what kind of jobs are out there? Once somebody gets their undergraduate degree in the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences, you know, what kind of future career path might they take? I mean, I'm sure there's a wide variety, but what are some of the more commonly associated fields with the CAES program?
Dr. Button, I'm going to let you help me on this one as well. I know some of them will go, you know, are good pre-vet or pre-med, some for law school. I mean, it's not just let's drive a tractor for College of Ag. Any sort of research, science any of the sectors that would do any sort of research or lab work.
Agribusiness.
Agribusiness is one of our degrees. So, yeah, let's just
Of years ago, we queried some of the graduates from our programs on just the Griffin campus, because all that information for where did they go can be found on the Athens website. So we wanted to do sort of a microscopic view and check with some of our recent graduates from the Griffin campus and just some of the feedback we got. For agribusiness, we have several that are working in management, whether it was in farming, maintenance, and agricultural sales. Biological science is a heavy attractor for students wanting to go into medical school or vet school or pharmacy school, and we've seen quite a few students complete that degree and go on to that for those professional schools, and that's what we're currently hearing a lot of students coming to us. Actually, vet school has become very common. Mm-hmm. We're hearing that a lot for students wanting to come. And with the ERS and the environmental resource science, some of our graduates have gone on to be soil conservationists, lab technicians, and attorneys. So we've seen quite a few, quite a vast, diverse group of
careers. UGA Griffin campus has to, by proportion, lead the world in pre-med and pre-law students.
Probably, but what's funny is a lot of students will actually initially come to us thinking pre-med, whether it's for biological science or microbiology.
That's real popular.
Amazing students come into both of those programs. But what I've noted in the few years I've been here is that those students come in thinking medical school, because that's what they've always thought. And then the research bug bites them. So we very often find those students going into research.
Well, I think Pamela Henry brought up an excellent point a little earlier in the program about, particularly if you take part in the Young Scholars Program, you might figure out something that it is that you want to do. But as Beatrice Cunningham, the program YSP director, will often say, you also get the opportunity to find out what you don't want to do.
Exactly.
And that's every bit as important. So, but let me get these couple of announcements in before we move on. Elizabeth Laney will skin me if I don't address these issues. There will be a University of Georgia Griffin campus blood drive. That's upcoming next Wednesday, January the 9th. Well, that's actually this Wednesday, the 19th. That's going to happen from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Stuckey Auditorium on campus. For more information or schedule an appointment, call my pal Ashley Biles, 770-228-7264. Or you can register by visiting the website, redcrossblood.org. Use the sponsor code UGA Griffin to establish your time. And to touch on something we brought up earlier in the program, the deadline for the Young Scholars Program application is the end of this month, January 31st. If you know a high school student interested in agricultural, food, or environmental sciences, then make sure they check out the Young Scholars Program. It is a 6-week paid summer internship for high school students organized by the UGA College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences. As Pamela Henry is telling us about, selected students will be working approximately 30 hours a week on the UGA Griffin campus, working side by side with world-renowned researchers on a variety of fascinating research projects. For more information, you can contact the campus at 770-412-4400, or better yet, go to the most easily navigable webpage in the history of the world, ugagriffin.edu. So we're going to, Dr. Button, I want you to appease my laziness here. There are 26 members of the University System of Georgia. Does the University of Georgia Griffin and Tifton and other campuses, do they count as their own institutions against that number, or is it UGA is just one and Griffin and Tifton just fall under that umbrella?
No, we all count as one under UGA. All those other campuses are part of UGA. We're not a separate entity.
Well, and we bring up USG because Melissa mentioned just a little while ago that, it really helps. And it's certainly not a prerequisite, but it certainly helps if you do your associate's work at a USG school. Mm-hmm. It makes for a more seamless transfer of credits.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, harp on, and you mentioned this a lot, and it always bears repeating, at what time should students, parents that are going to be ultimately interested in UGA Griffin start thinking about contacting the school?
As soon as you think that UGA Griffin is where you want to go. And ideally, that would be very early on in your academic career, whether it's while you're in high school and looking at those dual enrollment classes. The sooner the better. Now, it is obvious that very often students will change their minds. And so, you know, what you're interested in, you may change during your sophomore year or whatever. But at any point that you think one of the degrees at UGA Griffin is one for you, reach out to us so that we can make sure that you're taking the right classes that you need in order to transfer.
I want to put in something here, too. I've noticed in just the few weeks I've been here, there are a lot of returning students, like what we call non-traditional students,
right.
Adult students coming back who maybe did not do so well. They partied a little too hardy during their freshman or sophomore year at university, and now they're in the business world and they want to get their degree. That is possible. That
yes.
can happen. And we have quite a few students that are doing that. So don't ever think that this will never happen. I can't do it. Give us a call.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was one of those that the first year in college, and I did improve, but the first year in college, I did go a little hog wild with the independence. And
different kind of education.
Yeah. I learned more about life skills than I should than I did academically. But, you know, looking back, I'm ashamed of it. At the time, it seemed like the coolest thing in the world, and now I'm ashamed that I did that. But, you know, how do non-traditional students who might fall in that category, how do they recover? Because as Pamela mentioned earlier, those grades still follow you.
Yes, they do. And it's super important to call me. So we can kind of...
Because, there's not a reset button or a do-over.
Not necessarily. In some cases, there can be. But there is an appeal process. And that's a very individualized sort of process that we can talk about. We actually started this conversation, I think, with two people in the past week. We're talking with some individuals. But I think it's important to note that I haven't looked for our spring semester yet. We're still waiting for drop ad to pass. But last semester, the average age of our undergraduates, our bachelor's degree seeking students on our campus, was 33, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I think that's important for people to realize that we do have some those youngsters who are, you know, those have completed their first 2 years, you know, straight out of high school coming to us. But we have a significant number of students who are coming back to finish a degree or to pursue a second degree who are already in their career and wanting to just get the additional education. So just reach out so we can... And start working on trying to get your transcripts. Sometimes with those individuals, it takes a little time to track down all of your transcripts. And you got to make sure you remember everywhere that you took a class at, because that's important for us to consider in that pathway.
Upper college classes, not high school.
Oh, yeah. I don't care about high school. Unless it was dual enrollment.
But and factor this in mind if you're kind of amazed by the statistic that Melissa Todd just threw out about the average age being 33. Average ages can be somewhat misleading. I mean, you think about, you know, life expectancy in the 1600s was 35 years. Well, if you have a child that dies in that first year, which was common then due to childhood diseases, and somebody that lives to 70, well, then your average age is 35 and a half. So we do have some, you know, really non-traditional students who even would fall in my age range.
I think my standard deviation was 9. So we, and if I remember correctly, I know we had an 18-year-old last semester.
Well, that was going to say
had a 62-year-old last
so,
semester
you know,
in undergrad program.
You know,
so
do bear in
stretch. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to bore you with statistics, but
oh, come
but,
on.
But median rather than mean would be a better measure here.
Probably, yeah, and really looking at the where they stretch from that 18 to 62, and I think at one point we actually had the 18 and 62 year old in the same classroom,
but
they love being in class together.
Yeah, the point is, you know, our students are a little more non-traditional, a little older than, say, would be that you would expect in Athens.
But more serious, too, on the other end of the spectrum.
That's one thing that professors have told me, that they've never worked anywhere where the students aren't so focused and serious about getting their degree and moving on to bigger and better things.
Getting hammered doesn't mean to me now what it used to.
Yeah. You and me both.
But listen, we're just about out of time on this week's program of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. Any final thoughts from our panel today?
I would like to encourage people. The campus is open. You don't have to you know, call in advance to drive through. You're welcome to drive through. There is the Dundee Cafe, the Old Mule Barn. If you've never been there, you need to come. It's a farm-to-table cafe, and it is good.
Might I suggest ordering a casserole and skip a night of cooking yourself?
Yeah.
Marcy will hook you up.
Yeah, so come out there. I don't know what the hours are right off the top of my head. But
7 to 3?
Yes.
Monday through Friday.
Well, we're going to be officially closed on Monday.
Right.
For Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but the cafe will be open that day. So.
Well, now, the last time you were here, you almost didn't get to get in birthday wishes to your granddaughter. I mean, is there anybody, before we get away that you need to acknowledge?
I'm good. Thank you.
And Melissa, any final thoughts?
Yes, I want to make sure everybody knows that applications are not open right now, but they will be opening on January the 22nd for the undergraduate programs for both fall and summer. So that's coming up on January 22nd. And also, I like to make sure people know we only take applicants for one of the doctoral programs every other year. The Workforce Education, the EdD program, currently has applications open, and they will be closing on March the 15th. So that's a program. If you're thinking about it, you're going to have to wait another 2 years. So if you're looking at it, March 15th is the deadline for that one.
Well, it has been a pleasure having in the studio today Dr. David Bunton, the interim director of the UGA Griffin campus and assistant provost, Melissa Gordon, the assistant director of academic affairs, and our newcomer, who did a great job. Your radio experience showed, Pamela Henry, the program director for the College of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences on the UGA Griffin campus. Been a pleasure to have you, and we hope to have you all back again really, really soon. Next week, our program will center on the Young Scholars Program. Beatrice Cunningham, Ashley Biles will be here, and we'll discuss the how to enroll or apply for that process. We hope that you'll join us 167 hours from right this very minute for our next installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News.